Hey everybody, this is Amy Anger, founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, and this is the Prep Life podcast. I'm here today with my co-host.
Hey guys, this is Chris Nicole, IFBB Bikini Pro and Glam Girl Bikini Coach as well.
So today we're going to talk about the topic, grow or go. And what I mean by that is we are in that point in the journey where, and most competitors are currently in this phase of the journey where the competition season for the MPC is winding down. We have MPC Nationals coming up this weekend, and then it starts a bit of the improvement season. Yes, there are some states that continue to compete, but most states pick back up around March or April. And so our topic today is when to grow and when to compete. And so we actually just had a conversation recently. We had a team show this weekend and a big photo shoot with the New Me Journey. And I was having a great conversation with Chris regarding kind of looking at next year and the show path for the IFBB. Basically, schedule had just come out. And so we're kind of chatting up about what her improvement season looks like and her show path. And I wanted her to share with you kind of where she's at with just physiologically, psychologically, and how she plans to move forward in this improvement season.
Thanks, Amy. Yeah, it was a really good conversation we had. I definitely, if you know anything about my journey that I went through this upcoming year, I did a couple different shows, and it was a long stretch of competing, longer than I've ever done and more shows than I've ever done. And so, like, by September, when I had finished my pro debut, I definitely was feeling like I had reached my max and I was needing a little bit of a break. And now it's been, like, several weeks since then. And, you know, you kind of, like, start thinking about, like, what your next goal is and when the next show is that you're going to enter or coming up. Like, it's always good to set, like, some type of goal ahead of you. And there were, like, a couple big, like, red flags that came up for me this past week that kind of indicated that I need definitely a little bit more time to kind of adjust to my improvement season and just give my body some time to recover and have, like, a mental break. And that's totally okay. Like, it's okay. I think a lot of times as you, like, progress and you do really well, you want to, like, keep pushing and pushing, and there's definitely some limits, and I feel like a lot of times only the individual can know where their limits are at. So we had a team photo shoot this past weekend, and so I did follow, like, a week-long regimen of kind of cleaning up my diet a little bit, focusing on tightening up so it could look great for the photos. And that was actually a little bit more challenging than I had expected. So that was, like, a good indicator that I mentally am not really in a place where I'm ready to push full force for a prep. And I know my personality is when I commit to something, I commit 100%. And if I commit 100% to an upcoming show that I'm not necessarily excited about, like, I don't have that stage excitement, or I'm not looking forward to it, it actually only adds stress to my life. And that's not what the sport is about. Like, it should really be about having some fun, enjoying the process. If you're not enjoying the process, that's a big red flag. So I knew that if I was having a little bit of a hard time adhering to something for a week, which I did it, but it was a little bit more uncomfortable than I would have liked. I kind of knew, like, it was a good check-in moment for me to kind of figure out where I was at mentally. So I'm definitely going to take some more time. We'll kind of see what 2019 holds, but I definitely, I think it's important for people to do that self-assessment and figure out where you're at before you commit wholeheartedly to something and then it reaches that burnout phase. So Yeah, make sure you're enjoying it. That's like my rule number one. It shouldn't be a job. It should be fun. And then as far as like my body is concerned, I did lose my menstrual cycle while I was doing my prep for this past upcoming year. So I know that there needs to be more time where my hormones need to be regulated. My body needs to feel a little bit better, like back to 100%. I definitely feel the improvements. I definitely don't feel bad, but I still want to be like you, we use our bodies every single day, all the time. And so I want to be a good steward of what I have and the only body that I'm given, and make sure that it's back to operating properly and feeling well before I ever push it for like a new goal like that. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm happy about it. I think it's great to have some downtime and give your body like a little bit of a break. And I know, Amy, you have some strategies that you use as well, and some timing that you like to utilize. You shared with me before about like your between your national shows and your regional shows. So I think that's great information for the listeners to hear.
Well, thank you. I kind of want to start by just prefacing this that I didn't even start competing at the national level until 4 years into the sport. So I started out when I was 31. And I actually didn't compete in nationals until I was 35. So I've only ever competed as a master's competitor. So in 2015, I also kind of wanted to prove myself that, you know, I could get a first place. And so I wanted to make sure that I was ready for the national stage and that I had earned that. So I did, in fact, place first in 2015. And so I went ahead and planned on doing Masters Nationals, and I feel like I did fairly well. You know, I it was a very big class, you know, 20 plus, and, you know, I placed ninth. And so I was very proud of that. But something that I fell short on is that I got addicted to the stage, and I want to be very transparent when I say this, because it happens. It's very prevalent in the sport that you get this high, and you don't give your body time to recover. I mean, I'm just speaking from personal experience, but I mean, I pushed it to the limit. I kept doing national shows. I did one later in the year after, and by that time I was weighing, you know, I'm 5'7". I'm very tall. I'm in the tallest class in Masters, and, you know, I was weighing 120, which is very, very small. And I mean, I have never stepped on stage, on a national stage, at that low of a weight. And later in the year, I ended up placing 10th. I mean, I did not improve. I basically just needed to put muscle all over. And the problem with getting addicted to the stage like that is that you're not giving your time, your body time as a natural athlete to properly recover. And you have to have a caloric surplus to be able to make the gains and the growth that your body needs. And so since then, moving forward, I've always given myself at least 6 months. So, you know, when I gave my body some time to recover, I actually ended up, the next time that I went on a national stage, I got fifth place at North Americans. And then I gave myself plenty of recovery time, did San Marino national qualifier, placed top five, gave myself another 6 months, Spain, placed top five. And, you know, now that I'm coming here off of North Americans once again, placing top five, I'm going to give myself at least 6 months to grow. And so I think it's important, you know, the thing that I'm stressing here is grow or go. You need to know, like, when it's time, not only just mentally, but also physically. Your body needs time to repair. You need to be able to grow muscle and take the feedback and use that in a caloric surplus. Because when you're leaning down, I mean, you're not going to be able to make the gains that you want to do. So, which brings us to our other topic that we really felt passionate about discussing today, and that would be cardio. So, you know, there's three basically toggle switches that you can kind of tinker with as a coach or an athlete and to kind of lean out. So, you know, you can use thermogenics, you can use cardio, or, you know, you can manipulate your diet and calorically dig in that way. And so when you're tapping into those tanks, just like the reverse diet, we want to slowly walk the calories up after a competition. With cardio, you know, it may have to get pretty high depending on your dieting history. You know, when I was down to 120, I mean, I was doing 90 minutes of cardio a day, and there's just that thermogenic adaptation. You know, your body adjusts. Your body is very smart. It tries to stay in homeostasis. So if you increase the cardio, it's going to try to, you know, level out and maintain where it's at. It's always going to do that. So it's going to adjust. So the same thing in reverse, make sure that, you know, you're working with your coach on really looking at your cardio and your thermogenics and slowly walking those down too, so that you don't have those, hopefully at all in the improvement season, eventually as you slowly taper off of those. And obviously it's very person specific how that is incorporated. And, you know, at Glam Girl Bikini, we try to do a good job of like addressing the calories going up, cardio going down, and then, you know, kind of backing off those thermogenics so the body, you know, remains sensitive to those and you're not taxing your adrenals like crazy. So let's talk a little bit about the difference in various types of cardio. So it is very person specific, but we do have some guiding principles. One of which would be that, you know, when you're thinking like fasted or fed cardio, both Chris and I do things a little differently. She actually does fed cardio. So I'm going to hand it over to you so you can kind of share with the listeners, you know, how through the seasons your cardio has changed over time and like how you fit that kind of into your daily schedule.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. So cardio has been adjusted based on my lifestyle, based on when I could get to the gym. So it's always like shifting and changing. I have done fasted cardio in the past, like got up first thing in the morning, got right onto some cardio equipment and banged out my cardio session, which that was super nice to have that done early in the morning because I was like half asleep, so I didn't even realize what I was doing. But I also found that it made my blood sugar levels a little bit unstable. And so depending on like the length of how long I was doing cardio for kind of depended on when I could time it out throughout the day. So I have done that in the past, but what I have found is most beneficial for me and works great with my body is there'll be like two kind of windows where I'll get cardio in. And so I also am a personal trainer, so I have some clients in the morning in the gym. And a lot of times I have like an hour block in between. And so my second meal comes up like around 10:30, and I will have like a half hour before that meal time. And so what I'll do is at 10 o'clock, after I'm done with my client, I'll jump on some cardio because my body's had, you know, the 2 hour time frame to fully digest my breakfast. And I will do my cardio, and then I'll sit down and eat my meal right after that. And then right from there, I can train a couple clients, and then my body's had time to digest, and I can go into my lifting session. So cardio actually works really well for me there, but if I don't have that opportunity, I will just tag my cardio after onto the end of my lifting session. So I'll bang out my lifting session, and then I'll just jump right onto cardio. But I always make sure that my lifting and my cardio is done as early in the day as possible because just my like energy levels seem to dip in the afternoon. So I want to make sure that I get a good session in. So that's kind of what works for me. And Amy, I know you're like totally opposite of me. So what is it that you do?
So I actually do fasted cardio. It helps me with my fasting window. If you listen to the last podcast, you know that I do the intermittent fasting window of 16-hour fast and then an 8-hour feeding window. And for me, it kind of distracts my mind because when I wake up in the morning, I'm extremely hungry. So I make sure that I protect my muscles with my Catalyst from Avacare. You know, I put my, they are branched chain amino acids, so that I'm not encouraging muscle breakdown, while I do my cardio, but, it's kind of nice. I get it out of the way, you know, before the sun comes up, and, then I can eat my breakfast, and I will never do HIIT cardio, fasted though. So that's my one exception to the rule. I have a treadmill in my basement, so it's nice. Like if I need to do lunges or kickbacks and like touch ups, or incline walking, like in the morning, when it's dark, I'll do that at home. But, especially if I'm trying to like come in for a national show, and I have some HIIT cardio in my regimen, then I always have my breakfast. I do my workout and then like I'll hop on the step mill, to like, if, you know, if I'm trying to really pull in my glute ham tie in, that the step, I call it the step mom cause I have a love hate relationship with it, but, the way it makes the glutes look, I love, but that thing's a beast. So yeah, I would prefer my treadmill, but you know, I know it's a necessary evil. So the step mom and I kind of fight together after my lifting session, and it just makes it a little bit more manageable that way. I have to tackle her with food on my stomach, I guess. So anyway, that's kind of our differences there. The biggest thing with cardio is that, I mean, I never have a hard and fast rule for any competitor because really the way that cardio goes for every individual is very specific, and you know, it's very unique to that person's body and their goals. You know, I have a lot of athletes that have zero cardio, but it's just some bodies, you know, depending on history, you know, that's a necessary part. And yes, it does get higher, you know, as you're moving into your show, just to make things pretty tight. But the important thing is that you're not having your body adapt to this high level of cardio all the time. You know, you need to have it monitored by a professional where they're looking at you and saying, okay, this is where we need it to be. And then making sure that, you know, things are getting dialed down in the times that you need to, because this podcast is go or grow, and you're going, when you're going for a goal, you know, you're probably going to have higher cardio, but when you're growing, you really don't want your muscles in a catabolic state where they're breaking down. And we do know that muscle has a lot of glycogen, which your body loves. And, that's going to be a readily available fuel source if you're overdoing it on the cardio. Do you want to talk about lists a little bit, or, any other types of cardio topics that you wanted to discuss, Chris?
Yeah, so I actually love lists. So I know for a lot of my preps, that's been like the least taxing on my joints and on my body, and has been the best for my recovery. And it's also like leaned out my legs a lot, because I definitely, when I started competing, carried a lot of muscle in my legs. I think I just overtrained my legs for a really long time. And so doing like long, extended, steady state cardio where I'm just going for walks, you know, either on a treadmill or go outside and go for a walk, tracking my steps, that type of cardio regimen, is more enjoyable, especially for those of you that love watching Netflix on the treadmill. Like it just works. So that has been like really great. I definitely have some like old injuries that sometimes when I'm doing a HIIT cardio, or I'm trying to sprint, or I'm trying to prepare, especially when it gets closer to show day, my body really takes a hit, and yeah, your body's already in like a fragile state at that point. So that has been like a lifesaver for me to be able to operate much better and recover really well. So Amy, thank you for that adjustment, because that was a game changer for me.
You're welcome. And yeah, I mean, this is about longevity in the sport when we're talking about the prep life. And so we really are not just looking at this one moment on stage, but you know, you have to live in your body for a lifetime. So that's why that's one of our focuses, is that we want to make sure that an athlete is staying healthy and building a physique. This is bodybuilding. So those really hard hitting, high intensity, HIIT training sessions, you know, that can cause a lot of soreness, and, it can exacerbate and create some injuries, which can really like set you back quite a bit, with your weight training in the gym, if you have an injury from that. So, just something to kind of consider. The last piece that I want to talk about is the improvement season measurements. I personally find that it's the improvement season can be discouraging in some ways, because, you know, if somebody's looking at the scale to be the only indicator of their success, like, it can be very, quite frankly, very frustrating. If it's not moving, or, you know, it's going up, because you're so used to it going down, down, down. And it's like this kind of almost let down. So I've tried to reframe that. And I just wanted to kind of share with you some of the strategies that I've used recently that have helped me. And, if you follow me on Instagram, if you watch my stories, I don't put my days of my reverse diet on there for, like a narcissistic purpose. I put what day I'm on my reverse because I want to take it one day at a time, and I want to win that particular day. And I want to bring awareness to the fact that, you know, I have to tackle this 24 hours, and I want to do my best. And so I use that. And then obviously checking in with a coach, and just kind of staying accountable, making sure that like I'm getting in my bikini and heels every week, that, you know, I'm adhering very, very closely to what I'm supposed to do, and just really like embracing those calories and what they're doing for me in the gym. And I think that looking at pictures too can really help. And if you're staying on track that way, I think it helps a bit. Do you have any ways that kind of help you gauge where you're at in the improvement season when the scale, you know, isn't always our friend, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. That scale. So, a couple things actually that have really helped me. Definitely checking in with my coach on a regular basis helps. So, and Amy, I'm glad that you mentioned that getting in the bikini and heels actually, to me, is like kind of sometimes tedious and annoying, but it actually really helps me a lot, because a lot of times when I'm weighing myself and I'm seeing the scale increase, and or I'm feeling like bloated that day, or I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm not stage lean anymore, sometimes the image in my brain of what I feel like I look like based off of what the number on the scale is telling me or how my body is feeling that day is not really how I look. So it helps me to actually take the photos and actually look at myself in the bikini and be like, I don't look that bad. Like, how I'm feeling is not really how I look. So it's actually a really good mental check for me. There's been several times where I've sent you pictures, Amy, and I've been like, okay, well, like, not so bad. Like, I still got, like, my bikini physique. So that has helped a lot. Also, like, how my workouts are going in the gym. Like, the fact that I'm able to move more weight, be in better control of my, like, mobility movements, all that type of stuff, that makes me feel better too, and feel like I'm accomplishing something. Like, okay, I'm able to put in a better effort at the gym. And I know that that is just going to be like over time, just making my body better and better. That has helped me as well. And then there are like two other things. One thing is just, it's kind of an ambiguous measurement, but like how I feel. So knowing that I have more energy, that my digestion is operating better, those type of indicators actually make me feel really accomplished as well, knowing that, like, I'm doing something really good for my body and I'm feeling really good. And, like, I might not be, like, shredded, but I have a good physique and I'm taking care of it. So that helps me as well. And then the last thing, which I have shared with a couple of the glam girls, which can be implemented at any time, but also helps during improvement season as well, is having a calendar. So I will literally get like a cheap faux calendar from like the dollar store or like a free one from the bank. And I will give myself like a rating on every single day. So if I am having trouble adhering to like the meal plan, or I'm having trouble like adhering to any type of regimen, I will give myself a 100. Like, I will mark it like a 100 for like Monday if I follow the plan exactly. So it's not based off of, okay, well, I hit my weight goal, or okay, I hit like my measurement goal. It's more based on my adherence. And so I hate rating anything less than that 100 on there. So it makes me accountable to have to rate myself like an accurate measurement of how my compliance to the plan is that day. And I actually have a lot of my girls do that when they struggle, because it makes them kind of like self-assess. And yeah, like a couple times, like when you start off, you give yourself like a 90 and that like stinks, and you're like, okay, like I could have done much better than this. This is not this hard. And then after a while, you're just writing your 100s, and then I stop, because I've already developed that habit. So that's actually helped me a lot in the prep and the improvement season as well.
I love that. That's such a great reminder and such a great tip. So I think I'm going to end there. I feel like those were really, really good tips. And I think that it's important to remember that, you know, take a step back, look at where your headspace is, kind of take a look at where you're at physiologically. You know, when your mood is improving, when you get like your menstrual cycle back, when you feel like you have a very, you know, like you're in an excited space where you're ready for the lean out phase. I think there's a season and a time for everything. And, you know, just embrace the journey and embrace the fact that if you are in the improvement season, love your body in every phase. It's so important. As long as you're feeling good health and, you know, you're sticking to the plan, embrace the fact that, you know, it may be growing season, and get excited about that. And, you know, maybe you're pushing a new heavier weight than what you ever have before. And those are things to get excited about in the improvement season. So with that being said, I know we have several holidays coming up very soon. And I wanted to let you know that our next podcast will be regarding holiday parties and holiday. I can't believe, like, I've already started seeing Christmas stuff like at the different stores and things. So that season is just around the corner, surprisingly. So we are going to kind of talk about how to deal with those parties and how you can make the prep life fit in your holiday season, hopefully in a very bringing harmony to your life. And so you're still able to enjoy friends and family and the celebrations, and still stay eating within your goals. So with that being said, this is Amy Anger, founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini. If you like what you heard today, please click the subscribe button or give us a rating on iTunes. We would love it if other people were able to get value. And so if you can please recommend it, share with friends, we would so love it. And this is my co-host signing off,
Chris Nicole, IFBB Bikini Pro and Glam Girl Bikini Coach. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.